This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free.
Fight Network Radio, Sirius 98, Hardcore Sports Radio. Always a pleasure to be joined by this man right here. You know, it's very tough to keep a good man down. And after a brief sabbatical, which probably came at the right time for him after all, he got married, went on a honeymoon and whatnot. Errol Helwani has surfaced once again online at Versus.com and MMA Fan House. And he joins us here on the Insider Report. Ariel, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mauro. Speaking of resurfacing, all of a sudden you're on the Score, Showtime, and you forget about us little Canadians here.
Well,
it's been way too long, my friend.
It has been a while. I know that, what's his name, Pollock, my producer and co-host here, Mr. Prodigy, he likes to keep some of his aces up his sleeve, and I've actually asked a few times, hey, can you get Ariel Helwani on? He's like, he's busy, and then as soon as I go on a trip, I listen to the show, and there's Ariel Helwani. So I know how the game is played. Ariel, what did you think of a Dream 9 emanating from the Yokohama Arena this morning, or today in Japan, but this morning for us here in North America?
Yeah, I thought it was obviously an interesting card. The Super Hulk tournament, it is what it is. I'm not one of those people that's going to get all upset about it and say how it's ruining MMA and all that stuff. You know, it was a joke to begin with. It was a joke this morning when I watched it. At the end of the day, if it ends up being a Musashi, let's say, Sokoju main event, that's actually a pretty interesting fight, and one that, you know, if this is what it all results in, then no problems on my side.
But do you think, though, you say you're not one of them to, you know, the guys that's going to jump on and say this is going to ruin the sport and whatnot, but in essence, isn't that only because, let's face it, a tournament of this nature would never be sanctioned in North America, but let's say it was. I mean, it would be a huge embarrassment for mixed martial arts, wouldn't it?
But it's an argument that's not worth happening, because it would never ever happen in the UFC or Strikeforce. And I mean, this might offend people, I don't know, but I just view Japanese MMA in a whole different light. I mean, just look at the presentation, look at the broadcast. Everything is totally different. I mean, look at the pre-fight packages that we got to see through HDNet. I mean, it's a totally different presentation of the sport. And I mean, to have Kosei Kanseko come out with a baseball bat and a baseball shooting them into the crowd, it's a joke. It's a skit. It's more pro wrestling.
Well,
I
was going to say, remember, a Japanese organization once hired an announcer directly from professional wrestling.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I have no idea either, but we know about Japan and its affinity for professional wrestling and the larger-than-life production and spectacle. And I mean, they don't even hide it. Let's face it. Pride Fighting Championships was the byproduct of the Puroresu boom, and they just took what was working for professional wrestling and then, you know, made it legit or semi-legit, I guess. There were a few matches that have left a few of us still scratching our heads, although, it's never really been proven. But there have been rumors that, believe it or not, there may have been some worked fights in Japan, Ariel.
No way. Are you kidding?
Luckily, I mean, what did you think of Jose Canseco? Obviously, that's the, they were looking for their ESPN and TSN, Score, Sports Center moment, whatever you want to call it. I just thought, I mean, wow, what a way to make a six-figure income. The guy hurt himself. He hurt his knee by trying to run away from Hongman Choi.
Yeah, and nice plug for the Score there, Mauro.
But the cliche is Sports Center, but I'm on Hardcore Sports Radio, so I got to put over the Score. Otherwise, you know, baby doesn't get the new shoes.
Of course, Mick Foley would be proud. But yeah, Jose Canseco, this is the thing. He landed a shot, and then that was one more shot than I thought he was going to land. So, you know, good for him on that front. He didn't come out wearing the tattoo T-shirt, so that was a victory for me. And he threw baseballs in the crowd. I mean, that's really all that you can say. They got on SportsCenter. The AP, the Associated Press, Mauro, had a preview article for this fight and a post-fight article with quotes from Canseco. I mean, I'm not saying that this is a victory for MMA or anything, but clearly people are interested in this guy still. And like you said, easy six figures. He got in there. He got out. That's it. I mean, we're never going to see him ever again in MMA. I can assure you that. He injured his knee running away from Hongman Choi. And it's what it really is, if we want to be serious for a second, it's a sad look at the current state of MMA in Japan, because if this is what they need to do, and clearly this is a ratings ploy, if this is what they need to do, it's bad times in Japan. And more to that point, having a guy like Kid Yamamoto lose,
well, that's
really bad.
No, that, and you know what? You just stole my thunder again. Thanks a lot. And by the way, you brought up Mick Foley. Well, Lance Storm is on line one. You just took his catchphrase, if you could be serious for a moment.
Okay.
But let's talk about, you know, and I said it in the newscast. I mean, the biggest setback of the day was the fact that another homegrown star, and there aren't a lot of them left in the Land of the Rising Sun, Kid Yamamoto, who had been out with various injuries for over a year and a half, returned, took on a guy who had had only one previous mixed martial arts bout, and that was in the opening round of this tournament. Joe Warren, who trains with Dan Henderson and company in Temecula, spent time training with Uriah Faber as well. Obviously a Greco-Roman wrestling standout, but I don't think any of us thought he had the chin that he possesses, because to be fair to Yamamoto, he did tag him a few times, but in the end, Warren, full credit for the win and a huge victory for him. But you're right, this just does not bode well for Japanese mixed martial arts.
Oh, it's horrible, because this was Yamamoto's debut for Dream. Obviously, he fought K1 before. This is the first time he actually got to fight in the Dream promotion, the promotion which is suffering so much. And, like, you see, like, Aoki losing in their last event. Now you see Kid Yamamoto. I mean, these are their homegrown stars. These aren't guys that they're trying to bring from other countries. And that's really what's going to get the people in Japan interested in this relatively new promotion. So to have him lose to a guy with one fight under his belt is unbelievable. And it's not even a guy, in my opinion, that, like, okay, now he could be a huge star in Japan. I mean, Joe Warren, he's Joe Warren. I mean, he's kind of like his name. You know, he's kind of just like a bland character. Not nothing against him, but he's not like a Bob Sapp type of guy that everyone's going to, you know, get behind as the man who beat Kid Yamamoto. So that's
right.
Bad. And I think the interesting part about this, Mauro, sorry to interrupt
you.
I was at UFC 98 last week and talking to Uriah Faber.
Yes.
And he mentioned, everyone was talking about Kid Yamamoto coming to WEC.
That's
and
right.
He mentioned, watch out for Joe Warren, he's going to shock the world. And it's funny, because I think that if Kid Yamamoto wins today in Japan and maybe has one more fight for Dream, I think he ends up going to WEC and potentially fighting Uriah Faber. Now, Uriah Faber almost kind of screwed himself out of a potential fight against Kid Yamamoto by training with Joe Warren.
Well, you know, it's one of those situations where really I don't have to ask you any questions, Ariel, because you answered them before I even have a chance to ask, because I was going to ask about Yamamoto's future in WEC. Before we let you go, quick comment on the main event, anticlimactic finish, Jason Maya Miller, shin kick to the top of Jacare Souza's head, and the claret began to flow, and they had to rule it a no contest. So obviously not the way you want to end the show either.
Yeah, not the way you want to end the show. And really, why wasn't it called a DQ finish? Like, why was this a no contest, and why are they fighting again? I mean, Jacare beat him once. He now soccer kicked him in the head, cut him open. I mean, do we really want to see this a third time? I don't really want to.
You know what we want to do is read and hear from the one and only Ariel Helwani at MMA Fan House and Versus.com. Thank you, my friend. Have a very pleasant day.
Thank you. That was fast. Peace.
Hey, buddy, we got to keep things going, man. This is the fastest, hardest-hitting hour combat sports radio coverage. Yeah, you too, Ariel Helwani. Just give us the goods, buddy. Just the facts. All right, we're coming back. It is a two for Tuesday. It's a Canadian mixed martial arts showcase. Tim Haig, the heavyweight, making big waves in the UFC, and Ryan, the real deal Ford, debuting for, well, the Fight Club in Edmonton this Saturday. It's all coming up right here on Sirius 98 Hardcore Sports Radio, Fight Network Radio.
This is Ed Suarez, and you're listening to Fight Network Radio.
Yeah.